Yesterday, I went to the gym and I was on this machine I like to do. And it's kind of like this time that it's evolved to this time that I really, it's a wonderful, I love this part of my day. It's an hour and I don't look at any social media or news or anything. I usually listen to a podcast or listen to a book or something. So it's like I'm getting my exercise and I'm also doing something that sort of intellectually stimulate. Anyhow, that's not important. The point is, it's just like a time I really enjoy. And the time I go, there's usually nobody there. Anyhow, and there's this guy next to me at this exercise thing next to me. And he has on headphones and he's watching something on the iPad. And about every minute, he's like, he's like watching a sitcom or something. And my main practice has been the forgiveness practice. I kind of do the practice we're heading into. But anyhow, it's just. And then I sort of realized I'm kind of getting upset or something. And then I said, oh, I need to do the thought thing. So I like looked at my. When I realized I was upset, and I sort of labeled that thinking or upset or whatever. But I noticed that thought, I had this whole like story about this dude in my mind. And by this point, by the time I was really aware of, by the time I paused, I was aware of a little irritation, but when I really looked at the thought, it was like this inconsiderate guy. The show he's watching is probably like really like low caliber. I mean, I had all of this stuff, and then I had this the thoughts of wanting to share, like text my wife or somebody, can you believe this guy at the gym? You know, like this sort of like share it with the world. How what an awful person this person was. And then that process kind of like de-escalated it. But then the next time he was, and so you know, part of the thoughts were like, you have on headphones, dude. You know, just like you don't need to laugh out loud, and you know, whatever. And then I really noticed this spark of. Just aversion, like as soon as I heard his voice, that laugh, it was like aversion that transformed into these stories about him as a person that from there really could have transformed and beginning to transform into anger. And I was thinking to myself, that's really interesting because this is a no-stake event, you know, it's just. There's nothing at stake here other than my little 45 minutes of peace. But it was a really real emotion of anger towards this person who was just doing nothing but enjoying his really awful sitcom he was probably watching. I'm kidding there. His sitcom or whatever he was watching. So that's really what, to me, that was like, oh yeah, that's what we're doing in emotional balance. We want to be able to. See that process, bring mindfulness to it. And there's a lot of stages in the process, and it really starts with some sort of spark. I'm using the word spark, not in a technical sense, that's what it feels like to me, a spark of just annoyance, unpleasantness, to use the terms I use, pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. But in this particular case, it was just really a spark of just, you're like, you're bothering me, kind of. And then other times, other events might be a spark of, yeah, that's wonderful, I want that. And I think a lot of the emotions that give us a lot of problems, reactive patterns, start with this some sort of spark of unpleasantness. And another example, I mean, they popped up all week. I was at my child's soccer practice, and this and the practice before Henry doesn't ever do this. He loves practice. He came crying to me that this kid had kicked him before practice, like on purpose. This big kid, and I was like, okay, you know what? Probably didn't happen that way, but whatever. And then yes, was this yesterday? Anyhow, this week it was day before yesterday, maybe. I saw this same kid walk up to this other kid and just kick the heck out of him while they're kind of like hang out before practice. And the other kid was, this is a pretty big kid, larger, was like on the ground crying. It was like a really a hard kick. And I was like, that son of a gun, I saw it with my own eyes. He did that to my son. He's probably done that to 1,000 people. I wasn't like processing at that level. But then I, like 30 minutes later, I found myself, you know, on the phone to Shannon and thinking, you know, I should send emails to the soccer program. And not that any of that's necessarily wrong in terms of like action, but I didn't catch myself. I didn't realize what I was doing till I was doing it. And then Shannon didn't answer the phone, which is good, because after I calmed down, I was like, well, whatever I need to do, I need to not be, I realized I was angry. I need to not do it while I was angry, because I've made that mistake many times. But I didn't catch that process early enough. That's a should. I'm shooting myself. But if I'd caught it like that moment, I could have. And the reason that was important to me is because, like, Shannon wasn't there. So if she would have just answered her phone with no context, it would have just got her worrying. And so it was like, just by spilling that anger out, it would have caused someone else to not be emotionally balanced. And I was really thankful she didn't answer. And then I waited and told her the next day when I wasn't angry and blah, blah, blah. You know, this is what happened. And, you know, anyhow. So I was able to tell her very calmly, and I don't think blah, 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 blah. So I kind of compared those two situations. And one, I was able to catch it pretty quickly. And it's really interesting. This is just what I observed. And this is consistent with what, you know, Margaret presents in the book, that if any of you have the book, they really distinguish it implicitly, not explicitly, between kind of mindfulness and awareness. Here's an experiment. Like, if you hold your finger right there and kind of focus on it, you can try it right now if you want. Just kind of put all of your attention on it, where you just see the finger. And then kind of loosen up a little bit where you kind of still see the finger, but you're aware of the surroundings. You can get this sort of spacious feeling, perhaps. That's not exactly what we're talking about, but there's mindfulness, which is really the ability to focus on something. And then awareness is like this kind of knowing. So in this exercise with thoughts, I think that, like, the mindfulness, you can stay mindful on the breathing, but bring awareness to thoughts. And the implicit sort of idea is that if you bring awareness to something that's going on psychologically, it does something to it. So that was my case at the gym. When I brought awareness to my anger, it was like really funny almost. It kind of went away, and I was like, here I am, you know, I teach meditation and I'm getting pissed at this guy at the gym. But then I would notice every time he laughed, I would just trigger that anger again. So I was kind of playing with it. I was able, in that, at that little low stake environment, I was able to play with it. And it was a really wonderful experiment, because the guy kept laughing every 2 minutes, and he stayed on the treadmill the whole time I was on my machine. Like, literally, he didn't leave. So I was like, wow, this is like almost too good to be true. But in real life, it's not like that typically. You know, I don't have. So there's this idea of bringing awareness to the process is actually, in some ways, affecting the process. And so what we're going to do in emotional balance is look at particular emotional states or emotional processes, such as anger, or this week we're looking at forgiveness. And I won't talk too much about it because we're going to explore it, which is really, there's sort of negative emotional states underneath that we're addressing indirectly or directly with the forgiveness practice. So there's different levels we can work with the emotions. One is just like, I'm angry as heck, and I catch it, and I realize I'm angry as heck, but I can't stop it at that point. It's just, I'm angry, but I can sort of maybe stop acting on it or refrain from acting. But it's still just that awareness of the fact that I'm angry, you know, is going to do something to it. Or I can be aware of, like, perhaps if I keep practicing and looking at my anger, maybe be aware of it as it's escalating, perhaps, before it's like full blown. Or, you know, I can maybe even earlier, maybe like, oh, I'm feeling this thing in my body that usually indicates I'm gonna be angry. And we'll look at anger, it's either next week or the week after, but Paul Ekman, who, one of the exercises is to draw your anger curve. It's like a self description of my process of being angry. So some people's curve will be very gradual, and then they might get angry or something like that. And with awareness, I might have this really steep peak in my anger, but with awareness practice, you know, that it might gradually over time smooth out some. So the idea is that we're learning to be aware of our emotions, our emotional patterns, and respond instead of react, basically. And it's, so now I guess I'll talk about a few strategies for doing this kind of stuff, which is, I think, that why I think the mindfulness practice is really important. Paul Gilbert, I was looking back, he's not sitting here. I thought I had his book here, but he's not over there. He distinguishes different emotional, motivational systems we have in our body. One is the what's called the fight and flight, the fear threat. Gonzalo calls it the fear threat system. And a lot of these sort of con emotions or negative emotions or reactive emotional patterns we have are really coming out of that threat system. And another is this sort of doing system, but really one that we're really focusing on in mindfulness practice, compassion practice, is this compassion system we have, nurturing compassion. So in looking at anger, for instance, we don't meditate on anger by being angry. Like, there's not an anger meditation on anger week. It's not like, all right, be angry. Like, we might have a compassion meditation where we're cultivating compassion. So we really want to explore the emotional state from this perspective, the secure base is what Gonzalo calls it, safe haven of a perspective of mindfulness. And in the forgiveness meditation, Margaret uses a phrase, we want to just dip your toe in the cool water of forgiveness. You can dip it back out at any time. But the idea is that you just want to kind of touch on this stuff. And would you mind taking one and passing it? Thank you. And some of you have done compassion practices, and in some of the compassion practices, we might imagine a loved one suffering, or we might imagine a difficult person. And the recommendation is always to be very gentle. Don't go for the biggest suffering in the world. If you imagine someone suffering, for instance, if you're exploring a difficult person, don't go to your enemy. You know, just to start with the person who aggravates you a little bit. And it's the same with emotions, I think. We want to just sort of touch the fringes a little bit. I have one here, thanks. Thank you. And there's a I apologize for my artistic skills, but I'll get my fifth grader to do this electronically last time. I spent countless hours trying to do this on the computer and finally just drew it. There's a diagram here. And this comes from Gonzalo, who's one of the sort of persons who developed this program. C is comfort. That's our comfort zone. So your comfort zone is your place of familiarity, your place your sort of default place of safety and security. And overwhelm, we all know what overwhelm is, I think, right? Overwhelm is, I don't know a formal definition, but it's too much.
It's my everyday life, I feel overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, yeah.
Yes.
And in these practices, we don't want to be overwhelmed ever. So if you start to feel overwhelm or distress, could be another word, you know, you're in charge. Come back to the breathing. Maybe the example you're using is too much. Like if we're in forgiveness, for instance, we don't want to explore forgiveness. We want to start with just a little infraction when we explore this practice. Don't start, if you've had somebody who really hurt you badly, you know, don't start there. Start with the little stuff. And the idea is you can gradually contain more and more in your safe space. And that's where the growth is. So you want to challenge yourself to get out of the comfort zone a little bit and grow and maybe hold some things in the space of awareness that maybe you haven't before or haven't been able to. And then just sort of play with it. Like what's too much, what's not enough. I found this helpful when it was presented to me. Any questions or comments about anything I've said? And another sort of tip or strategy I'd like to talk about in terms of the meditations in general is, I'm going to refer to this sheet that says Cycles of Experience. I think it's the last one. And I think last week I presented this idea of distinguishing effects from results. And an effect would be the sort of immediate result, not result, because that's what I'm comparing it to. The effect would be the immediate effect of something I do, particularly a meditation practice. So for instance, let's take a practice such as any meditation practice, really. But let's take a practice, particularly where we're trying to cultivate something. Let's say compassion. We're doing a meditation where we're going to cultivate compassion. We'll be exploring that in a few weeks in here. So one particular type of effect of that I might have on me of this practice might be what's called here pure contact. And that's where I really like, wow, I'm feeling compassion. Other times I might feel expansiveness, and that would be towards this growth on that other. I'm feeling compassion, but I'm also like there's something being transformed, or there's something happening, so to speak. But too much of that might be overwhelm. It might be just like, wow, that's too much. I'm like, it's like challenging my identity or something here. You know, I don't know what's going on. That could be overwhelm. Another possible effect could simply be distraction. I'm trying to focus on my compassion, but I keep getting distracted by my thoughts, by my memories, by noises, whatever. Unconscious, that would be where I'm simply just, I could literally fall asleep, where I'm just like zoning out perhaps. Avoidance. You know, I committed to doing practice, but I find myself doing laundry and chores and other things. For me, that's a good one. I know that when I'm really like cleaning the house, it's like, what am I avoiding? Rejection. These are all like effects or responses to the practice. Is rejection. This is the dumbest thing anybody ever invented. I'm not doing it. I don't know who came up with this forgiveness crap, but I'm not doing it. That's just like flat out rejection. Fake. Sometimes the practices feel like I'm just going through the motions. I'm doing a compassion practice. May you be free from suffering. But there's like no feeling there, right? I'm just reciting it. intention. For I'm not really feeling what I should be feeling, but I'm tapping into the intention. Yeah, I really do want my son to be free from suffering, so like I'm aware of this intention. So the point of this is the point of different things that can occur, and they're all valid. Any of them is valid, it's just your experience. So the part of the practice is to be able to hold what is happening in the container of mindful awareness.
What do you mean by pure contact? And would you define that? I mean, what?
Just where you're really, maybe a feeling of, like, let's take the mindfulness of thinking meditation, where you're just like, yeah, I feel like I'm really doing this practice. Like,
well, it just seems like everything in this cycle is negative.
Well, not necessarily. Pure contact would be kind of very positive in this interpretation. Pure contact is like you're really like, oh, it's a, like, for instance, we're going to do forgiveness this week. So pure contact would be like, wow, I'm really like feeling forgiveness.
The opposite of the fake numb.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing it and you're really like feeling like you're doing it, like whatever it is to practice. Like many of us, when we're talking about our meditations, we might say, yeah, I didn't do it that well, or I was trying to do it, but my mind kept that. And that way of describing it, that's not really pure contact. Would be like, wow, I was, and I stole these terms from Kelly, so I'm not sure what she meant by, I mean, I know what she meant, but I'm not sure why she used that term. But it's just like, yeah, I'm really in contact with what I really think like the purpose of this practice should be. I really feel like I'm doing it. Like if I'm playing basketball, like I'm in the zone, I'm dribbling and I'm not thinking, I'm just playing basketball. I don't know if that's a good example, but it's just...
Yes, it's a good example.
So don't... And this isn't really a cycle in the sense that like it goes in a sequence necessarily.
The air's going both ways.
They're kind of connected, but it's just to me a good description of things that are normative that will and can occur. Because often if we're not having this like... what's called pure contact or some sort of transformation, we maybe feel like we're not doing the practice right. So this is intended to sort of normalize these various responses. And like the chart I passed out last week about, say, effects versus results, the result, for instance, of an exercise program might be getting fit, but any particular day of exercise, I don't feel necessarily like I'm getting fit. Some days I might feel like crap, I might feel sore. Other days I might feel really energized, but the long-term result of that is going to be, I'm going to be more fit. And I think of these practices in the same way. And the reason I thought this was a good week to introduce this is because we're really getting into practices that are intended to cultivate something. And forgiveness, I had never encountered a forgiveness meditation before a year and a half ago when I encountered it through this program. So I'm still somewhat new to me, and I've really been exploring this practice. And some days it doesn't feel like anything's happening. Same as the compassion practices for me, where I might feel resistance. And that's just part of the process. And I'm intending this to be a pep talk, kind of, that if you do these practices, something's going to be shifting under the surface that might not be evident if you're analyzing the immediate effects of the practice. So I don't know if that was helpful or not, but I would love any feedback or questions. So I really talked about two things. I talked about sort of the emotional systems, motivational systems, and that we really want to approach everything from this secure base. And so that we can just sort of stretch our boundaries a little bit and tap into some of these things. And then in doing so, we're going to have a lot of a variety of experiences, all of which are valid or authentic. I don't have a sense now if what I said was helpful at all or informative. I'd love some feedback or questions. Well, let's jump into forgiveness then. So what is forgiveness? Any thoughts?